This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana, and Barry has been telling me about some funny stories that have been happening.
So, Mariana's a tough, by the way, guys. What did you say it was? Was it 29 degrees or 39 degrees? I can't remember.
29 degrees, and it's 12:15, so we're off to lunch soon. And the highest it's going to go, they reckon it's going to get to like 33.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to do that here. But anyway, we've been having a lot of rain and rugged stuff. But anyway, back to the bridge. And the big event in the weekend was the national teams held in Otago at Dunedin. And yep. I understand that they had some 20-something teams, over 20 teams, which is pretty good. And the winners were two, this is hard to believe, national event, two first-time partnerships, Malcolm Mayer and Zachary Yarn, and Nick Bailey, who hasn't hardly played for years, and he was playing with Lissandra Zeng, and they won every match. And wow, with a match to go, they were so far in front, they couldn't be caught. And they presented to win that one as well. So, wow. I don't know quite what that proves, but So, funnily enough, in second are two very long-term partnerships in Chris Ackley and Arlene Schwartz, Margaret Purley and Paul Freeland, who wound up second.
Yeah.
Third was the Alabaster team, Jen Alabaster, Graham Tuffnell, Jane Skipper and John Skipper. I'm going to tell you who was fourth, just because I have a story about them.
Yeah.
It was Michael Ware and your mate Jack James, Bradley, friend of the Bridge Zone, Johnston, and Sam Coates. You'd expect a story or two out of that team, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What was the team name, by the way?
Where?
Ah, where, oh, where.
If he's listening. Anyway, the story wasn't really a bridge story. So the story was Jack was meant to fly home on Sunday, but a funny thing happened. And you may not have heard this because it's been on the news over here quite a lot, but his plane was in Wellington and it caught fire. Or as Jack told somebody, it exploded. I don't think it actually exploded, but it caught fire and it never ever made it down there. Jack had to stay another night in Dunedin, which was probably no hardship. I'm sure he had a good time. He flew to Auckland and then flew from Auckland to Palmerston North. I tell you what, being a bridge player, you know, it involves a bit of travel, doesn't it? Sometimes to places that you don't want to go.
I'm sure Jack's had airplane problems before. He missed a flight going down to a tournament. I'm sure he did that,
We've talked about this before. So, I mean, I think the thing is, if you're planning on taking a flight to a bridge tournament anytime soon, just check in and make sure you're not on the same plane as Jack.
We still love you, Jack. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so look, it sounds like the event was really well run.
Yeah, it's a fantastic result.
Yeah, great result. It's a long time since Malcolm Mayer was a youth player. The others a bit younger.
That's awesome.
You don't know Nick Bailey. He was a youth player, a former youth player, and used to go to youth weekends, but hasn't played much serious bridge for a while, commenting that it was 10 years since he had played in a two-day event.
So where is he based?
I don't actually know, but I sort of presume he's from down south somewhere.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Nick Bailey is a member of Otago, so he is.
Oh, okay, right. So he didn't have far to travel?
No, he didn't. So that was the main event on the weekend, but there was a bit of other bridge going on. The Billy Two Hill was held in Auckland, a 5A of 3A, is it? It says a 3A. I thought it was a 5A, actually. The winners were Steph Jacob and Carol Richardson. They might be quite a new partnership as well.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a thing. So they won it from another long-time partnership of Barry Palmer and Neil Stuckey. So the winners of the Napier Open teams, Bob Hurley, Grant Jarvis, Wayne Burrows and Scott Smith.
Some old names there.
Second were Liz and Blair Fisher, Mike Curry and George Masters, who travelled over from Hamilton for the day and then headed back over to play the Area Pairs in Hamilton the next day. Would you believe it? Some people are keen, aren't they?
Aren't they?
Yeah. So the winners on the day of the Waikato Area Peers were Mike Curry, after coming all that way, managed to win the Area Peers on the day with Kieran Harris. Second, Malcolm Smith and Kevin White. But the overall, that was the last of the Area Peers. This is a five sort of day event held over throughout the year. And the final result was taken by Lynette Bond and Ian Morgan. They won by 1% average over Helen Rinaldi and Catherine Cameron from Hamilton.
Oh.
A bit of a battle for the Area Peers. I know that Bay of Plenty area have the Bay Peers. I guess other provinces around the country have these sorts of events. It's been a bit of a battle in recent years for the Area Peers in Hamilton. They're sort of struggling to get any more than about 10 tables.
Okay.
A bit of a discussion at lunchtime about what they could do. They really need to get more people playing. Spread around, as you know, they have sort of five of them. I think they have one in, you know, they maybe might have one in Thames, one in Te Awamutu, one in Cambridge, whatever. You know, sometimes in those smaller areas, they don't get many tables at all.
You've been playing bridge today. What have you been playing?
I was just playing online. I've made Mariana wait. So the Trans-Tasman Challenge, which is held online between the New Zealand and the Australian teams. We had a draw tonight with one of the Australian teams. At the moment, the Cornell team is still leading. So this is a New Zealand-Australia team. So New Zealand teams are coming first, second the Australian seniors teams, and then New Zealand teams coming third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, eighth, and ninth. I reckon you could say we're pretty much whooping those Australians at the moment. I don't know. I haven't worked out the total, but we were a fair way ahead. There's 16 teams, eight from each country. And out of the top nine teams, seven of them are Kiwi teams.
Awesome.
So I reckon, at the risk of tempting fate, I reckon the Aussies need a miracle to get past us where there's only one round left to play.
Oh, you shouldn't say things like that.
Why not? I'm sure that if the Australians get past us, they won't remind me that I said that. They won't give me a hard time. Will they, Mariana?
No, they won't.
Yeah, they bloody will. I would never hear the end of it. Some interesting hands tonight. So it's an event that you can kibitz online. Only one left to play, and I think it's sort of the 11th of October is the next one. So you can actually, you know, on a Tuesday night or a Friday night, they're usually held. You can actually follow your favourites and see what happens. There is a slight delay, 20 minutes or half an hour or something. You can watch your country's open team or your seniors team or your women's team or your mixed team or even your youth team.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There's no Judge Judy. She's down where? What's she doing?
I'm not sure, but I rang her today and she hung up on me.
Oh, okay.
She was
That's
in Christchurch.
The end of it.
So we don't have Judge Julie today. Now, we've got our 10A Swiss Peers. We might as well have a push for our 10A Swiss Peers being held in Hamilton on the weekend. How many tables do you think we've got, Mariana? Have you been checking it out?
No, I haven't. Are we doing okay?
We had 15 tables last year, and that's what we budgeted on. We're up to 22 tables.
Shut the front door. That is awesome.
We're very happy with that.
Maybe I should go away more often.
And we're recording this. It's only Tuesday, so I guess it's possible we might even get one or two more. Actually, we've had a withdrawal. Sorry, we've got 21 and a half tables.
But we've got standbys, haven't we?
We have got a standby pair, so we will have 22 tables.
Very good. That's a cool number.
If somebody else wants to enter, we'll be taking entries right up till the day or two before, even if it says the entries are closed. Don't worry about it. Give somebody a call at Hamilton Bridge Club. They'll do what they can to get you in. We're going to use both rooms. Away. The precedent's away, so we can do whatever the hell we like. And we thought we'd use both rooms.
That's exciting to have the club rooms that full. That's awesome.
We could fit them all in the bigger room, but...
Nah, spread them out. Give them more room.
It would be quite a good idea if you put, say, half a dozen tables in, like, tables 1 to 6. Particularly because it's a Swiss Pairs event and everybody's trying to get to the top 5 or 6 tables, we thought we could put them in the other room. So your aim could be all day, can we make it into the other room?
I see Hugh McCann is coming. He's going to have a go.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If he's going to play, Swiss Pairs is pretty brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
No, lovely. Well, Best of luck to everybody that is going. Like Barry said, if you want to enter, you've still got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I don't know why we've got so many tables this time. You never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Absolutely. We continue with Peter Hollins on how to evaluate a bridgehand. And because we don't have Judge Julie, we've got quite a large segment on it. Enjoy.
So let's look at a few more examples and see how this works. So here's this previous example. And what we've got is we've got the ace, queen of spades. So this queen is connected to an ace, which is really good. Whereas this jack is not connected to anything, and this jack's not connected to anything as well. But this jack of hearts is much better than the jack of diamonds. And this is because the jack of hearts is in one of our long suits, and the jack of diamonds is in our short, so it's not nearly as valuable. But let's bring up another hand. Okay, so here, this is a six high card point hand, but it is pretty bad. So let's look at why. Firstly, all of our points are scattered. We don't have any connecting honours. These honours are not touching each other at all. Whereas, like, if you moved the King of Spades into clubs, then you'd have the King Jack of clubs together, and that would make your jack better because it's with a supporting honour. Whereas these scattered points make this hand a pretty poor six count. It does have some intermediates. It's got some eights, some nines, but not enough to be really noticeable to bring up that point value a bit. Another deterrent is the fact that your points are mainly in your short suit. We've got 3 points in a three-card suit and 2 points in our doubleton, whereas only 1 point in our 2 4-card suits. So all in all, this is a pretty bad six count. Okay, what about this one? So here we've got 11 high card points, two aces and a king, and this is a reasonable 11 count. Now, all the points are scattered, which is a deterrent, and it doesn't have that many intermediates, it's got 1 9, but what it does have is it's all in aces and kings. So it's got two aces and one king, and what we noticed is aces and kings are currently undervalued in the 4-3-2-1 point scale. So this hand is pretty reasonable because it's only made up of aces and kings. All the other factors about this are not great. It's got more points in its shortages than in its long suits. But it does have 4 points in its long suits, and it does have a nine, so it's getting close to having some intermediates there. Okay, what about this one? So here we've got a 4-4-1 handshake, and we've got 16 high card points, 5 in spades, 7 in hearts, and 4 in diamonds. And this is mainly made out of aces and kings. So that's firstly a good thing. Secondly, it's got the 10 of hearts, which is a good intermediate. So that's good. So aces, kings, and 10s are all currently undervalued. Jacks are overvalued, but other than that, it's pretty good. Other things, we've got some supporting honors. So our king is connected to an ace, our jack's connected to an ace as well. So both of these lower honors are better because they're touching other honors. And one direct way that you can see how this is actually useful, why a connected honors are good. If we didn't have the ace of hearts, then our chance of winning a trick with the king of hearts would be sort of 50-50. We could lead towards the king of hearts and hope east has the ace. Whereas if west has it, we're not going to win it. But when we've got the ace, this king is 100% to win the trick. So because we've got the ace of hearts, this king is guaranteed to be winning a trick. And that's why connected honours are better. It sort of promotes all your lower ones. So this is a pretty good 4-4-1 shape. We got 16 high card points, and if we find a fit, we can count 3 for our singleton. But this sort of brings us on to the next thing that I wanted to mention, which is some good hand shapes and some bad hand shapes. Now, 4-4-1s are not a great hand shape in general. Largely because they're really, really awkward to bid. Most bidding systems do not have a good way to describe 4-4-1 hand shapes. So it's awkward to try and bid. When you actually get to the play of it, it's not too bad because you've got a shortage, but it's not a particularly great hand either. So it's on the sort of bad end of hand shapes. But a really, really bad handshape is a 4-3-3 handshape. If you have a 4-3-3 handshape, that is the worst handshape that you can have. And some people can downgrade an entire point for having a 4-3-3. I don't go as far as that, but when I see a 4-3-3, I definitely lean towards downgrading my hand. Whereas some good handshapes include 5-4-3 ones, 6-4s, 7-4s, 5-5s. Lots of those unbalanced hands are really good hand shapes. If you've got 10 cards in two suits, your hand is usually really, really powerful, and it's going to play better than what the points would actually suggest. So if you've got those hand shapes, then they're really strong, and you want to be enthused about bidding those. So let's bring up another hand and see how we go. All right, so looking at this one, we've got a 6-4 shape, and talking about good handshapes, this handshape is fantastic. 6-4s are one of my favorite handshapes. The playing strength of these are really, really good. What else about this? So we've got 14 high card points, and we've got lots of points in our shortages. We've got 6 points in our shortages and 8 in our long suits. It's okay, but it's not a great distribution of the points here. We don't have that many intermediates, but we do have a 9 of spades, the 8 of clubs, so something. And most of our points are in aces and kings. We've got 7 in spades, 4 in hearts, in aces and kings. But we've got a few queens and jacks, and these are not supported honors. The queens and jacks are really powerful when you connect them to higher honors, so it's not great. So this is a moderate 6-4 shape, but I love 6-4 hand shapes. And the main thing about 6-4 hand shapes, or when you find a primary fit, or if you've got a 5-5 shape, you find a primary fit. So what I'm talking about is you might find a fit in diamonds if partner's got 6 diamonds or something like that, and that will make this hand not play particularly well. You don't want to be very aggressive when you find those fits. But let's say we found a fit in clubs. Now this hand is really fantastic because we'd be able to draw trumps and then set up spades and throw away all the rest of the tricks. So when you've got a 6-4 shape or a 5-5 shape and you find a good fit in one of your long suits, then the hand will play like a dream. When you find a fit in like your shorter suit, like queen, doubleton, diamonds here, if we found a diamond fit, this hand won't play as well because we might be able to draw trumps, but then entries back to this hand are pretty limited. We also might have a lot of club losers. So this hand is a lot worse if we find a diamond fit than if we found a club fit. Okay, so this one we've got 10 high card points. And this is a reasonable 10 high card points. The biggest deterrent for me is no aces. I am a huge fan of aces. So here, not having an ace is like a bit of a drawback. But we do have a couple of kings, and everything else about this hand is reasonable. So we've got a few queens and jacks, but what we do have is some intermediates. This 10 of spades is fantastic, which is really good. All of our points are in our long suits. We've got no points in our doubleton, so that's a really strong hand. What else is that we've got connected on? This jack of hearts is connected to the king. Which is really good. So the location of our points is good, the connectivity of our points is good. It's sort of split between queens and jacks and kings, which is not great, but it's not a 4-3-3 hand shape as well, which is the really dregs of the hand shape, so pretty good. Just got a question. Do I count minus 1 point for having zero aces? I don't go as far as that, but whenever I see a hand without aces but a decent amount of points, I am pretty negative in general. Like, I'm a huge fan of aces, so when I see aces, I like to be more optimistic and be aggressive on the hand. When I see no aces, that's the first thing that sort of strikes me about a hand, and I'm more pessimistic about it. And then I have to try and see other good features that I can find about it. But I wouldn't take away a whole point for not having aces. But I'm definitely keen to hold back a bit. So there were a few different hands, and just looking through how we can actually evaluate them. The final thing I wanted to talk about hand evaluation is how I like to actually bid hands, which are distributional. And this is using a technique called hand visualization, or basically playing the hand out in my head. So rather than going, I need 33 points for slam, which is a good baseline to go on, is you want to go, what specific cards do I actually need partner to have? And then can I come up with a perfect minimum for them to actually bid hand? So let's see if we can bring up a hand and talk about it. It works better for unbalanced hands. And talking about bad hands, this one is terrible. This is a 4-3-3-6 count, no points in our long suit, all queens which are already overrated and they are not connected at all. So this is a truly bad 6 count. Okay. This one here, we've got 14 high card points, 5-4-3-1, which was a pretty good shape. And we've got all of our points in our long suits. And we've got some intermediates. We've got the 10 of spades, which is also good. So this hand is really, really strong. So let's say that we started bidding this hand and say it went one spade, pass, and say partner bid three spades, invitational. Okay, how interested in slam are we opposite this? So if partner's got 10 to 12 points and a fit in spades. So what I like to do is think, what do I actually need to make slam? Rather than going, I've got 14 high card points and three for a singleton, which is 17, and then all the adjustments I could ever make makes this positive. I would say this hand's worth about 18 points, which would then mean we've got 28 to 30 points, which would not be interested in slam. However, let's try and visualize what do we actually need partner to have to make slam. So if we wanted to make slam, if partner had, say, the ace of diamonds, the ace of clubs, a Doubleton heart, and king to four spades, can we make slam opposite that? So that would be 11 high card points, and that would have the ace of diamonds covering our diamond. They had the ace of clubs, so we've got the ace king, but we've got a deep club loser. I said they had a Doubleton heart, which meant that we've got one heart loser, but then I'd be able to rough the other two. And king of spades would have no spade losers. So opposite that, we can't make slam, but we could probably make 11 tricks opposite a nice 11 count. So what you can see is slam's probably just out of reach on this hand if partner bid like this, but it's not impossible to be making slam in this situation.
Thanks, Pete. We've got the last of his segment on hand evaluation next week. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat. Why are you laughing?
I was playing in the area pairs on Sunday with Blair Fisher, who I haven't played with for ages, and he was
Yep.
playing our system, and we had a moment. It was a systemic thing. Oh, those who are interested, we were playing a thing called Smolin over in the No Trump, and I really wasn't quite sure how he was going to take this bid. I knew what it meant, but it was quite an unusual sequence, and I wasn't too sure. Let's face it, he'd been travelling all the way home in torrential rain on the Napier Highway to get there. Anyway, instead of playing in our 5-3 spade fit, we ended up in our 4-3 heart fit at the five level, one off. It didn't have a happy ending. So the tip is, talk about your system with your partner. Just even though you've played with him before and he sort of knows the system, maybe you need to just run through a few things. If you're playing with somebody that you have played with, sort of knows the system, have a little discussion before you sit down. We didn't.
You didn't,
We
you just
thought,
got in there.
oh, we'll be fine. We wouldn't.
So who ended up playing it?
I did. It was a very sad state of affairs. Would have been much better if he'd had to play it.
I don't think that's a tip. That's not a
Well,
tip.
it is. I think it's a good thing. I mean, sometimes you do sit down with somebody you haven't played with for a while and you think, oh, yeah, we know what we're doing. I think it's a good idea to, just check up on a few things before you sit down to play. That's my tip. Don't be complacent. Or don't get complacent.
I'm actually wondering, you're having quite a few of these moments. I'm pretty sure we've had two moments for the last 2 weeks.
The sad part about this was, when it happened, I could see it happening and I thought, oh, I don't know whether this is going to work out, but I can't do anything to make it clear. I just had to make the systemic bid
Why
and
did you get to the five level?
well,
Here we go, folks. Here's the real thing.
he thought we'd agreed one major and I thought we'd agreed the other.
Oh.
When one of you doesn't think you're in the same Trump suit as the other one, it's a recipe for disaster. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. Put a few slams that mostly went off, a grand slam that went off, and we still ended up with, I don't know, 53 and 55 or something.
It was one of those days where you're always one off.
Was. Now, have you got to the bridge table yet?
No.
You still haven't. You've
No.
forgotten what to do.
I tell you, it's so hectic when you're traveling that when you get a day's rest, you take it.
Give your public. They're all waiting for you to have a game of bridge in Italy.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can get around to it. Yeah. I'm quite looking forward to coming home, but then again, I quite like traveling.
How long before you make it home?
What's the date?
Oh, yeah.
17 more days. So I come home on the 21st. Yeah.
So that's still quite a long time you've got left.
Anyway, well, thank you. I'll let you go and get some kip.
Okay then, and you enjoy your time in Tuscany and see if you can just sneak a game of bridge in the next
Yeah,
17 days before
I
you
will
die.
try. I will definitely try. I am getting a bit nervous about Congress coming up because I haven't played any. Maybe I'd have a moment. Maybe I
Are
need to
you getting
go
itchy
and
fingers?
buy you a bag of Minties, Barry. Moments
You getting
like
itchy
these, you need Minties.
You getting itchy fingers from not having no
Yeah,
cards in them?
I am. Okay, well, everybody, you have great bridge this week. Fingers crossed. Don't have moments like Barry. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.